This morning.
I'm a genius.
Mark.
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. We were just listening to Arnold the Syringe Man, and that was a piece that Martin from Nimbin, Australia, produced along with... do you produce that along with your friend John?
Yeah, John is here. He didn't produce that. John is here on a different matter.
Okay. So can you go ahead and tell us a little bit about NIM FM and a little bit about the community that you have over there in Australia? It's a fairly small community. I believe it's like 1,500 families. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're situated in a valley here called the Nimbin Valley. And it's surrounded by hills and mountains, and then there's other valleys behind that and so on. And the hippies all live everywhere. So the total population of like-minded folks in the widest sense is probably 30,000 people here in the North Coast. And our transmitter, our radio station, can only reach within our valley because we have no access to any mountain or a relay for an external site, you know.
Well, how did you end up starting this radio station, huh?
I wasn't really in the beginning involved, but in 1999 this station started with a bunch of volunteers who were very keen to do the old school radio to get signal out free to air into people's homes here in the village and surrounds. And that's just about, 1,500 as you quoted roughly now. And then it sort of spiraled on. We had a really old, we had really good transmitter. We raised the money for the transmitter, for the hardware area, all that stuff. And people donated CD players from all sorts of sources. We got donations of gear, of secondhand gear, and some of it was just impossible to repair.
Oh, believe me, we had the same problem here, so that's okay.
Yeah, and some of it was really valuable. And so the whole spirit sort of spread out, and the radio station became sort of a new animal in town, because the community exists from the days back from 1973, when the first dropouts from Sydney and Melbourne and other places started moving here. So it's quite a long, ongoing affair of alternative people living here. It grew and grew and grew over the 30 years now. As I said, I think it's about 30,000 alternative people in the vicinity of the North Coast. And this Aquarius Festival is the buzzword. If anybody wants to check out historically what Nimbin made Nimbin, Google up 1973 Aquarius Festival.
And how many people used to attend that festival?
Oh, this festival was a initiation thing in 1973.
Oh, okay.
And there's websites about it which you can read up on what happened and how it all came up for people who are interested into the details of it. I can tell you that this is like here around Nimbin, there's perhaps 15,000 people involved into permaculture, eating out of their own gardens, doing their own solar energy, doing their own waste management, their own water collection, their own energy requirements in all sorts of levels, and have their own schools even here, and some of them people never leave the bush, you know.
It's amazing to me. It's like a little oasis from what.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And you've been there since the beginning, or when did you arrive on
that? I live here for a long time, but I wasn't involved in the beginning of the radio station, which started in 1999. I came a year later. In the year 2000, I joined, and always had an international focus for our local people here and used downloads on a slow connection. Can you believe it? I waited here sometimes 2 hours for a 20-minute recording.
Oh, my.
Yeah, but I got the international scene early on to NIM FM, and I got some other people in the meantime interested, and now we've got Warwick, who's running our Nimbin Radio Media.libsyn.com host for MP3s. He set this up. He was the man behind it last year, and this is running now about 9 months.
Is it true that you guys have your own currency?
Is
that true? I heard it was called Ninlets or something.
Yeah, there was once upon a time it was like that, but it has evolved. It's now, it's like any business in Nimbim needs the green currency to exist, not directly necessarily, but it needs the tourists to come and buy it. And while they are in town, they buy then paraphernalia, they buy books, they buy videos, they buy CDs, they buy handicrafts, they buy bushcraft, they go and book into a workshop for permaculture, or they go and watch a activist radical movie from a protest. And I'd love to get John on air about this, because we've got a deep concern with Barrick Gold here. Barrick Gold is a Canadian company, I understand. And they're doing a lot of, contentious things, I might say, just sort of not taking it away of John to explain that. If you want to talk to John, you're sitting next to me.
Yeah, I would love to.
Okay, well, I'll get pass it on to John. John, Johnny Chai.
Okay.
Hello, Joe.
How are you doing?
Very good, thanks. Yourself?
I'm doing wonderful, and I'm just so happy that you guys were able to take the time and spend it with us here this morning. It's 7:34 in Montreal, but it's about 11:30 at night for you guys, I guess.
It is. We're actually in a cyclone at the moment here. It's torrential rain and flooding all around our area at the moment.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's, I don't know if we're going to get home tonight.
Have you? Do you guys have problems like that normally, or is that something that's just come about?
Sometimes I don't think it comes down this low quite usually. It usually stays up the far north coast. This is the northern New South Wales north coast. So for it to come down this low, it's a bit, you know, it's a really big. It's bigger than a cyclone apparently. It's a really big depression.
I had a look on the map.
I had a look on the map, and it's with the satellite. It's huge, and it's dumping like a record amount of water here.
Well, you guys stay safe.
We will.
Tell us a little bit about this Canadian company that is perhaps not doing nice things over there.
They're called Barrick Gold, and they're in they're registered on the Canadian Stock Exchange, the Paris Stock Exchange, and New York Stock Exchange. They're the biggest. They've just merged with Placer Dome, and they've become the biggest gold producer in the world. And they've came to Australia, and they're proposing and in the process of developing a mine at Lake Cowal, which is Australia's biggest inland lake. Every 15 years, it gets massive, and like kilometres across, hundreds of kilometres across sometimes, with the Murray River and the Darling River flowing into it. And the Barrick Gold are in the process of building a huge mine right on the edge of the lake there. It's going to involve removing 128 million tonnes of low to medium grade ore. It's the excavated hole is 1 kilometre wide, 325 metres deep, which is deeper than the Centre Point Tower in Sydney, if anybody's ever seen that.
Did you say a kilometre wide?
Kilometre wide. It's 325 metres deep, and it's on the shore of the lake where 277 migratory birds come from all around the world, and they land there. And I think Barrick Gold have diverted the river behind the lake, and are now digging a hole and removing as much rock as the mass of Uluru or Ayers Rock in central Australia. So it's a big thing. The hole that they're proposing to dig will be half within the high water level of the lake as it is now. So they're going to primarily drill a big hole, and when they process the rock, the miners, they crush it to about half-inch cubes, and in this case, I think they've got it in a kind of a vat system where they leach all the gold with cyanide, 6,000 tons of cyanide every year for 13 years, and all the rock turns to mush, and they extract the gold, and then with the tailings, which are massive for 128 million tons, they go along a road to what they call the tailings dam, and these tailings dams are 1.5 kilometres square, and there's two of them. And 128 million tonnes of rock mixed with approximately 80,000 tonnes of cyanide over 13 years gets put in these big open space of water, and in the arid conditions in the partially desert area where they're situated, all the crystals of the arsenic and cyanide and all the other cyanates that are produced will blow across the landscape and affect anybody who lives around it. It's I've got some other figures here about chemicals to be used on the job. There's 6,090 tons of cyanide every year.
6,090 tons?
Yeah.
Wow.
7,500 tons of ammonium nitrate. 56,700 tons of quicklime. 12,600 tons of sulfuric acid. 702 tons of hydrochloric acid. And 2,100 tons of hydrogen peroxide. This is all in ancient sacred site of the Aboriginal people here, who have been there for 60,000 years. All their artefacts have been taken away by the company and stored. 600 artefacts, stone implements, really precious items to the Aboriginal people. So for Country Energy, which is your local electricity supplier, to supply electricity to the mine, they had to run a cable 105 kilometres. And to do that, they have to shave a strip 200 metres wide for 105 kilometres across all this beautiful landscape, Aboriginal sacred sites, burial grounds, and such like. We need some help here with, like, the cyanide itself is coming from Gladstone, which is 1,600 kilometres away, and there's 6,000 tonnes of cyanide on the roads from Gladstone, which is situated on the Barrier Reef as it is, where two companies make 60,000 tonnes of cyanide every year and distribute it around Australia.
Are those Australian companies that are making that, or is that an outside company?
I'm not sure. One of them is called Orica. I'm not sure where they're, because their money's on lots of different stock exchanges. I'm not sure actually where they're based. But they're in Gladstone, and we've got 98.2% of all gold mining in Australia is cyanide-based. So we're getting 1,000 tonnes of cyanide. Oh, sorry, I'll say that again. We're getting several thousand tonnes of cyanide every year, 100,000 tonnes, according to the Peace Bus website. There's a website called Cyanide Watch with the Peace Bus, which goes into a lot more detail about the cyanide.
The Peace Bus is an organisation based out of Nimbin that goes around and protests. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
They're doing the cyanide route to build awareness along the cyanide route, where the cyanide's going to go, the 1,600 kilometre journey from Queensland through to New South Wales. And it's a concern that maybe our authorities here will not be able to deal with a collision or a crash involving 100 tonnes of cyanide into the river systems.
100,000 tonnes, right?
Yeah, this is, but that's a, just say 100 tonnes going, like on one truck, going into the river. Like, we're talking 6,990 tonnes a year. So that's like 100 tonnes a week. It's out of proportion, like the gold, the people from all over the world are coming exploiting Australia. They're treating it as the world's quarry. We all live on the edge of the quarry and have to fight off the miners who are poisoning the landscape and killing all the animals.
And here you have this wonderful oasis. You have people that are producing their own energy, that are taking care of their own waste, that are their artists, and then you have these corporations that come from empires, and they come and they destroy that, right?
They do. We've got a history of taking on gold miners around here. We have the gold miners seem to attack Aboriginal places of special meaning to the Aboriginal people, sacred sites, and dissolve them and trying to actively kill the culture of the Aboriginal Australian people.
And believe me, we have the same problem here in Canada with oil and other resources that are extracted, and at the Aboriginal people are the ones directly affected by that. Go ahead.
We've been associated with a gold mine called Chimbara. What's that?
The program. I found your program.
We've been associated with a gold mining campaign to stop three gold mining companies mining an Aboriginal sacred site, of a massively sacred site, to the area where we are now in Nimbin. It's for the whole Bundjalung area. And Ross Mining, South African company, came in and bulldozed all these beautiful old trees, hundreds of years old, on a beautiful plateau. There's only seven places in the world like at high altitude wetland, and the miners went up there and they cut down all the trees, all the sacred trees of the Aboriginal people in their sacred sites and learning initiation and stuff, destroyed it completely, dug a huge heap leach pad. They were only using 700 tons of cyanide a year, but that was going into the Nelson's Creek, and it overflowed, and we stopped it. We started a cafe in Nimbin, where we are now, called the Chimbara Cafe, and we had to raise $20,000 to get our Bush lawyer, our Oshlap, who's an amazing lawyer, into court. We had to raise $20,000 because the court said that our lawyer was a vexatious litigant, which means you're a troublemaker.
Really?
Legal language. So he said, if you want to come to court, you've got to raise $20,000. So the whole town took 9 months, and we raised $20,000, and we took the miners to court, and we beat them with the Aboriginal people, native title stuff. And we beat them. And it's only one gold mine ever shut down. We shut down three of them. We're not into shutting them down. We're just into stopping the madness. It's criminally insane what they're doing to the landscape here through money and gold fever. There's a gold rush. There's a resources rush in Australia with the Chinese coming over for aluminium and stuff. Now, we need some help. The Aboriginal people need some help. There's only 20 million people, and a percentage of those who have time and no mortgage and know to actually bring to the world's attention what's happening is remarkably small. And we really need some help here. I just didn't mean to stress that too eagerly, but if you'd like your listeners to get involved with our campaign, which would be so good.
Yeah, and we would definitely like that. Go ahead.
There's some websites here. It's the peacebus.com.au. These are all Australian based with AU after them. Rainforest Information Centre and Friends of the Earth Australia. This is a national campaign with Friends of the Earth Australia. So we also have issues with nuclear dumps here being developed, and a whole industry built around increasing sales of storing people's nuclear rubbish, the world's nuclear rubbish. Is stuff afoot to increase that by $10 billion a year. So because it's so big and vast, people think Australia's like the world's shed, where they put everything in it. But there's people that live out there. There's massive, massive things that need to come out here. We need the world to come and hear the Aboriginal people, what they've got to say, the Australian Aboriginal people. They've been under extreme duress and hardship for 234 years. So they need their, this is all part of it, this is how we get involved. Because of environmentalist stuff, we get to protect the land, we meet the people of the land. And we work with closely with them because we see what we're all losing. So, and it's not past tense, it's happening now. There's three guys sleeping outside. In the hurricane, there's three guys sleeping on the veranda here. You know, Aboriginal people. Things are still very much. We've got the Commonwealth Games, they're called the Stolen Wealth Games over here. Because that's what it's like. If everybody comes over here, takes Australia's resources, gets rich, and what about the people who live here, the Aboriginal people, whose connection with the land is more than we can begin to know.
Can you go ahead and tell us again what the name of that Canadian company is? That is
it's Barrick Gold.
Barrick Gold. Okay.
Barrick Gold. They're
the honorary president from 1995 to 1999 was George Bush Sr.
Yuck.
Okay. So it's the biggest company in the world. Is everything involved with George Bush Sr. involved with this? We have to come up against mercenary armies sometimes in the mine, like protesting about mining. They send armies in first, and then they to make sure that check it out or stop any unrest that all their gold mining is doing.
All right. Well, I hope that some of my listeners who are listening right now will take a moment and search this out.
We have a corroboree happening at Easter at Lake Cowell, so if anybody would like to come over and have a look and could see some dancing with Aboriginal dances and performance storytelling at Lake Cowell, there's more information on the Save Lake Cowell website. So, yeah, I'm actually a chai man. I make tea. We make tea to at environmental blockade situations, and we do environmental caterers, and we have a really good time doing a really horrible job. And so we've got to, you know, you can't sell cyanide and everything by going, oh God, the world's going to be destroyed. We have a good time doing it. It's that's the only way you can sell it.
All right, and if people want to get to know Nimbin Australia, they can go to nimbinaustralia.com, correct?
Yeah, Nimbin Australia, that's right. And Lake Howe and the Aboriginal people, if they would like to get involved or send donations or any legal help or anything like that, it's savelakehowe.com.
Okay. Well, I do thank you for joining me this morning. Unfortunately, we're going to have to go. But I thank you for offering that information for our listeners, and I hope that someone who is listening right now will take advantage and visit this these websites and just learn more about this community. Nimbin Australia, NIMFM, NIMFM.
That's
is,
right.
Is it .com?
Yeah, is it .com, NIMFM.com?
No, NIMFM.org.
.org,
okay. And I just congratulate you on what you guys are doing over there. I thank you for joining me this morning. I have been speaking with Martin and John from NIMFM.org, NIMFM in Nimbin, Australia. And they just have a wonderful little oasis over there, and they're trying to protect it, and they need people's help. So thank you very much again for calling and joining me this morning, and good luck in the future, okay?
Yeah, well, thank you for having us.
No problem.
And I saw your program on the website. It's called The Friday Morning After, is it?
That's correct.
Oh, well, I'll keep an eye on that one.
All right. And hopefully in the future we can broadcast each other's stuff. I think it's great.
Yeah, you might remember the email I wrote about Skype and TalkBack and stuff is coming on in a couple of months.
All right, well, we'll look forward
makes
to that.
Makes it easier.
Yeah, it does make it easier and cheaper, huh?
Okay, Joe, it's wonderful. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Have a good...
wish your listener a lovely Friday after all that poison.
Well, they'll be fine. All right, thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
See ya.
Bye.
Okay, that was Friday night. Telephone interview with CKUT. That is CKUT in Montreal, which is a radio station situated in a university, or for a university campus, as I understand, with a large listenership over there. By the way, they've got those minus 8 degrees and the blizzards and the sleet. And we have here at the closest place I can give you a flood update, by the way, is Goolmunga Creek between Lismore and Nimbin, 3.51-meter river height. So that is probably the critical point. There are many other places, Shannon Brook at Ural, Richmond at Casino, Cayuga. It's all falling, rising at Casino, rising in Yorkley, steady at Rock Valley, steady at Nimbin, Goolmunga, steady at back corner at Bentley Street, Terania Creek at the Shannon, 3.838 meters, but steady. So, and Cooper's Creek at Repentance, 1.9, but steady. The Corndale, steady. Eltham, steady. Woodlawn, steady. At Tuncester and Leicester, steady. Wilson's at Lismore, steady at 5.16 meter. That was from 1 a.m. this morning. So, further showers possibly tending to rain at times. Mild to warm, moderate to fresh southwest, southeast winds, strong at times near the coast. And for tomorrow, further shower or two and the chance of an afternoon thunderstorm. Warm, light winds. They don't mention any flooding, so should be all right. Can put the dinghy back into the boat shed. Let's continue with scan.org. Oh, by the way, this is Heath and Jimmy, who is providing the web content in graphical and visual form, photoshopping logos, photos, and also works as a volunteer in the Hemp Embassy. And he made this music probably a while ago. But anyway, that's his music.
Serious, mate. You heard that?
It's about time. Yeah. What's he done?
Well, he wants to give everybody a monthly report on what you're talking on the phone, what you're writing on the computer, what your fax is producing, and what your radio and TV stations you tune into. And
it's about time, mate.
Where's everything.
It's about time. Where's my ID card?
This profile started.
Excellent.
20 million profiles.
Yeah, I've got the silicon chip in my back now.
Well, he hasn't got a database ready yet, but it will
come. He can use my Windows.
Your Windows?
Yeah.
Windows C drive?
Yeah, yeah. Is that good? No. We should do it.
That's a usual
spreadsheet.
One. The spreadsheet's all numbers, you know. Right?
And so tell me, how much, like if I want to access information on my neighbor or something, how much will that cost for me to get access to that?
It doesn't cost anything. Just
that will be
script, mate.
Excellent.
Yeah, just apply for it.
P. Ruddock. Dickhead.
Yeah, application for a logon, so you can have a look at your file, at your profile.
Yeah, I think he still uses dickhead as his password, but that's okay.
Your profile is totally wobbly, by the way. It looks really unshapely.
I want a good charcoal of my profile. That should do.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Anyway, no, I can't wait. I want to know what Johnny Howard's up to, mate.
Yeah, happy days coming.
I want to know who he's talking to on the phone, for how long, and what he's fucking talking about. And it should be reciprocal, you know. They want to keep an eye on us. We want to keep an eye on them.
We want to ring in.
Exactly.
Yeah, we want to be part. We want to participate.
I don't want to be alarmed, all right?
No.
I just want to be monitored.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay.
Well, I want to be monitored in hi-fi. I don't want to go back that crappy 32 kilobyte computer.
Exactly. I hope it's in stereo.
Full files, mate.
Dolby.
Uncompressed audio, please.
Exactly. No zip, mate. We want full 600 meg fucking daytime CD thing.
Well, thank you, General Attorney, for the message. It brings really a hype into our afternoon here.
Good on you, mate. No worries. Yeah. Get an ID card up here.
Don't bother with tapping the phone. There's no point because they're going to take it away. So it doesn't matter. They don't want to monitor you, Graham, because they want to take your phone away. That means they're not interested to even tap it.
Yeah, but it's gone. When it's gone, that's it.
And Olympus wants to... No, not Olympus. The other Optus. They want to come and give you a new one. For a lot more money, of course.
Well, if you can get a new one for an old one, that's...
No, you have to pay extra.
You have to pay?
Yeah.
I mean, there's always this...
See, Sol, through here, you thought, these pesky landlines cost them a fortune, and it doesn't make, they don't pay for themselves, you know, those pay phones,
no.
Those cheap landlines people use, and so they're going to be removed. But now Optus wants to stand in and say, well, we're going to give people these phones again, you know.
Well, we should ask the government for a government facility in the form of a public telephone.
The other option is you hire one for a day. They lay one out for a day, and then when you're finished, you give it back to them, and you only pay a little higher fee instead of a whole bill every month.
And you get to keep all the money that they put in the fund.
Yeah, for the one day.
Yeah.
You can hire it.
Yeah, well, you can hire it for a week and make a living out
of it. I've seen the engineers at the moment working on this mobile payphone, which has got wheels, and you can just wheel it out like a wheelie bin.
Yeah, that would be very interesting, because they used to do that with those cigarette machines.
Yeah, people can, you know, when people want that payphone, they just take a mobile and ring to us and say, we want this mobile
And when you get sick of pushing it along, you just get them to do like a franchise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you can franchise it all that, and you sit back and you just rip in from the franchisee.
Yeah.
And you're the franchisor.
I'm dealing with chips, I don't like French fries.
Oh, look, even to the cat and the dog now because of
this bird flu. Yeah,
and what about if they got fish flu, though?
Well, how long would it take before human-to-human transmission happens with bird flu?
Transmission?
What's your guess?
It's got to go up to the satellite and back again. And so it can pinpoint almost exactly where you are, this sort of transmission. But other than that, it can pinpoint your brain after you've got the bird flu.
Well, ignore this conversation in the backdrop. back to Optus and the phone. Optus rolls it out. It rolls private phones out too for people whose landlines get chopped, you know, so they can't use a landline any longer. They roll it out. They roll it out with a monitoring device.
Well, that'll make them that expensive that you won't want a landline. You'll have to use
a mobile. The government is not interested to monitor you. It's just the telco is interested to monitor you because they're in bed with the industry for advertising, canvassing products on phones.
Isn't that a type of phone tapping, like Fred Astaire?
Yeah, it's phone tapping in Bangalore and Mumbai and call centers. That's what it is. They're tapping the phones.
Yeah.
They want to know how much you spend on knickers and how much you spend on beer and how much you spend on fuel, clothing, repairs on your house, so that they can canvass you better in the future.
But what sort of knickers? The ones you buy for your girlfriend? That sort of
not
knickers.
The ones with the knots in them.
Not knotted
ones.
No, we don't want any of those.
No, they're sort of like knickers are sort of, it's a short form of, it's like a colloquial for thieving.
Yeah, well,
for stealing, nicking.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's this famous phrase, nick off, isn't it? You take them off.
Nick off Optus, go home, take your phone home, give us a free service, mate. Give us a free bloody mobile service. Anywhere better.
I don't understand
what this Senator Coon is whinging about obligations of Telstra to put payphones in the landscape when everybody can have a free mobile phone and eat it at the end of subscription. I mean, they're edible now.
Well, they could make them out of something edible, couldn't they? Yeah, like gingerbread. Remember the gingerbread and the gingerbread cottage?
Yeah. The phone call. I can hear. Yes, I can hear you still. Yeah, no, the signal is all right. What? What? We're getting cut off here, Nimble, from the phone. Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, just heard that?
Yeah, well, so that's it.
That phone call just came in. He's saying they're going to cut us off.
Well, what are we going to do about it?
Well, we can't be monitored when we're cut off. That's sort of consoling.
Well, at least they can't phone tap us, can they?
Yeah, and they can't kill us.
No. Well, they can't. They do try.
We save lots of money. You want to cut the phone off? We save lots of money, Telstra. Yeah.
And carrier pigeons will be all the go up
and log
there
drums.
In Nimbin Town.
Log drums.
Yeah, and those fires, you know, they have with the smoke signals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smoke signals, log drums, carrier pigeons.
Drums, didn't you? We've got enough drums.
We've got enough drums, yeah.
Heaps of drums.
Log drums are better, the wooden ones. They travel further, they're 12, 20 Ks.
Log wooden ones?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the hollow logs. Yeah, hollow logs.
And you can all...
See, most of the hollow logs here are used for didgeridoos.
Yeah, hollow logs are 10 times better than a 6 gigabyte blah blah machine. And travel dependably in rain and in sunshine, it doesn't matter. And the other thing is, with carrier pigeons, they can come and quickly tell you whether the bird flu is on the way or not.
Well,
they know.
If they can,
they know.
If they can come.
They
yeah.
know,
yeah.
No, they would know.
Well, they're carrier pigeons, right?
They carry it. What, in a little pod?
Yeah. So when they come back sniffling and snorting and all that sort of thing, you know where they've been because you've sent them there. Yeah, so the bird flu, that's a very interesting something that's coming, upcoming.
I'd rather sort of curb that conversation because there's too much chopping and post-production work to be done, otherwise
yes,
it gets
sure.
a bit fuzzy.
No, I'll tell you what, when we get the fish flu, that's when I'll be interested. Yes.
No fish and chips then?
No, no, they're not efficient, some of these chips. We need very efficient
broccoli
chips.
Broccoli and chips.
Yes.
With the fish flu.
I mean,
the fish flu.
How does, modern technology
how does
the
fish flu occur? How does it occur in the first place? How does it actually come into being?
Occur? Are you talking about dogs here? What sort of a
fish flu?
Oh, fish flu.
Now, how does that turn out?
Well, it turned out the same as the bird flu.
What, when you go fish chicken?
Yeah, especially flying
when you go
fish.
Fishing
you
for chicken, that's a different thing than fishing fish.
He jumps out of the water,
touches
he flies
you.
Along, and he just passes one of those pelicans that has the bird flu.
Ah,
right, see?
Transmission
and
via flight.
Dives back down again, and then you've got fish flu.
Yeah.
So one fish flew over the pelican.
Yeah. Could that sort of entail changes for the Japanese whaling fleet in the future with the fish flu sort of propagating through the oceans?
Yeah, well, propagation. Now, I do go in for propagation.
Fish flu
I like
whale
that.
Flu.
Yeah. And now, what happens then? Do all the whales, like, get wings out of it? I don't know.
Yeah, what happens then? That's the next stage.
But they're not fish, you see, they're mammals.
Yeah, but they're in the ocean with the fish.
Yeah, that's all right.
But they eat fish.
But you see, it's not transmittable between mammals and
no,
fish.
But they
different.
Eat fish, which has got to caught the flu. Wasn't that your proposition, that fish catches the flu and then the whales eat the fish?
Well, most whales, they just eat krill.
Krill, yeah.
Yeah.
Where would you be with flying whales? Could you imagine the droppings?
Who can you ever... Wow.
Oh, there was a yellow submarine that was flying.
And the droppings.
The droppings from a...
The droppings would be able to
Whale droppings.
Whale droppings. They'd be able to put a man down, wouldn't they?
Well, they could...
Well, I'm sure if...
Drowned in the whale droppings.
I'm quite certain if whale droppings becomes a fashion in them, there will be some people reading the future out of a whale dropping.
Well, you could go and scoop it up.
Divining it, rather. It's better.
Put it on you.
George actually Australian. He doesn't look like one.
No, he's Middle Eastern.
Yeah, no, he's
short. He had a makeover to remove his Middle Eastern
appearance.
The only
reason why he got away is he's so short.
Yeah.
People tend to cut tall people down so he doesn't get noticed.
No, he keeps it out of the way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's very well a Middle Eastern appearance. Mate.
What shall we do to secure a National Party re-election for him? Like to keep the seat, I mean, the seat could be kept warm.
Well, apparently he's been having more speech therapy lessons and getting more of an Australian accent to his speech.
Yeah.
And that's helping a bit. A lot of the National Party supporters are quite dumb, as it is.
How about him coming with a tractor to Nimbin and protesting?
Well, he probably wouldn't make it, mate.
No?
He wouldn't
come
through Nimbin in an uncovered vehicle. He got sent a travel warning.
Because of the whale droppings.
Yeah. Now he got sent a travel warning. We can't secure...
Travel warnings?
Yeah, we can't guarantee his
Don't
safety.
Or be alerted.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You might get a flat tire on your tractor. Watch out.
He's a sinner. And you know what we do here in Nimbin? We stone the sinners.
You know what really gets me, why I'm so angry about Thomas George?
Yeah.
Because now he makes me fucking sit down for bloody hours in the night time on the computer to research all his misery so I can punish him, you know. But I like punishing people, but I don't like sweating 3 hours or 3 days at night every night on the computer to figure out what he's done wrong, you know.
He's a miserable man.
Yeah. Do you know a website where I can get that all bundled in one?
Yeah, Gaia Guys, G-A-I-A. Yeah, Gaia Guys or something like
gay?
That.
He's gay?
No, check it out.
They are gay.
No, there's a whole... It's what? More on
Thomas George.
Well, Thomas George, but mostly about Ian Causley.
Oh, yeah, National Party. That's what I'm after.
I can report. There's a lot of pedophilia accusations.
Notice, have you seen my email, which sort of seems to imply him into the wheat board scandal?
Hmm.
We've got these emails,
brilliant.
You know.
He was
that's
getting kickbacks.
I need to interview
Thomas was getting kickbacks. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and it's not just Iraq.
No.
It has a long history of kickbacks here with Nim and Thomas George.
Yeah.
Yeah. He always, what does he get?
When he was young, he used to come and hang in the laneway and make sure he'd get a bit of a cut from the lads.
Yeah.
From
the gutter, the dog shit.
Yeah.
They sort of muddle
that's
up
what,
and sell
yeah, he used to get a cut from all
yeah,
that.
That's
the type of man he is.
Yeah. Did someone try that in Amsterdam with me? You know, to steal me some
that was
dog
so
shit,
funny
you know?
That night, oh, yeah. I remember. Yeah. We still smoked. It was all right.
It doesn't matter, you know. It doesn't kill you.
Yeah. No, if you smoke enough...
It makes a man happy who sold it to you, you know.
Yeah. No, if you smoke enough, you get a bit of a...
dog shit in Amsterdam, mate. No.
You get a bit of a buzz out of it.
Well, when you come to Nimbin, what you get here is rooster bantam shit, man. You know?
Well, if it's been...
This is potent, this stuff.
Yeah.
I tell you, this rooster will make a mark on the growers... on the grower scene,
yeah,
and on the, you know, on the medicinal
scene. It's got the white swirls through it. I think people like it.
Yeah, when it's sort of
shiny
and reflected in the light. Yeah,
you tell them, oh, this is the blonde, mate. It's got
now
blonde,
we've got that strain. When you hold it in sunlight, it causes a little rainbow.
I like that one.
Isn't
yeah,
that suitable
that
for
is.
Him?
That's good hippie.
Yeah, I thought so. So let's campaign for it.
Yeah, okay.
For the stuff which causes a little rainbow when you light up.
Yeah. No, that's beautiful. I haven't smoked that
we haven't marketed yet. It's all
non-profit.
You can have it for non-profit.
Yeah. And you can feel it going into you. It makes you feel cheery.
And at the end, you know, the other end, you can get that.
Well, you know what they say.
You get a pot full of pot.
You know what they say about Nimbin?
Yeah.
It's the pot at the other end of the rainbow.
Ah, right, yeah. Oh, well, I'm completely mistaken on this one.
Yeah.
Oh, that
yeah.
would be a delightful for all Canadian listeners and... British
like
Columbia is getting hammered, I heard.
Did you like my dreadlocks?
Yeah,
they
well, can still grow them. It's a good thing. It's got this potential to grow.
Defying.
Yeah.
I'm getting a makeover.
Stem cell development. Can
I'm getting
grow
a
bigger.
Makeover.
Yeah, they get longer.
It's my makeover.
You want to go curly and dark skinned? No.
No.
You want to be in solidarity with those people that oppress in this country?
Yeah.
Tell me one other thing here. This is
you want to know a lot of things, mate.
This is a hotbed of Middle Eastern activities here, I noticed, you know, and it's all Australians and assimilated Australians, let's say, you know, who sort of were capable of screaming on the AFL as well. That's the minimum requirement to be Australian, to scream at the AFL match.
Yeah, the Middle Easterns do get sympathy here because...
Why?
By
tell
God
me
they,
the reason. Why,
by God
why is
they,
this?
Because by God they make good hash.
Yeah, I know. That's an old thing. That's an old hat. They do it
they still
for
do
thousands
it good,
of years.
Yeah,
you know?
They're good at it.
It's just that last century, the Victorian era, just discovered it. You know, that's the only reason we're still so puzzled by it. But anyway, why are Australians here, Nimbin and surrounds and visitors, doing this dancing and playing?
I think it's not so much pro Middle Eastern. It's more anti-American. I think if you have a look at what they're really saying,
anti-Jewish.
Anti-Jewish? No, we like the Jews, don't we? Israelis.
The poor Jews are right.
The backpackers, they're good.
Well, the Jews in Jew land are right.
Yeah, we love them.
Yeah.
Keep in your own country.
Yeah. There's a special map out for Jews to find their homeland, you know.
Yes, that's right. It's a very hard road map. A lot of zigzags.
Yeah.
And you backtrack a lot.
Yeah. You've got to have combat gear to get there.
It takes
and 50 night
years, mate.
You need a night vision system
50
to
years.
See it, to find it in the dark.
Amazing.
Yeah. And, I've
got to go shoot some Americans. See you later.
Well, anyway, your bantam rooster here is conveying to me with his cooing early on that the bird flu is coming to Australia.
Well, he's like our canary. You know how they have a canary in the mines?
Yeah.
And when the canary dies, they run?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So we have the rooster here. Yeah. If there's any bird flu, the chook goes first.
It's not sniffling at you, or no. It's not snotty or anything.
No.
Just
No. That's what we look for every day. We put we get a swab its nasal passages. Yeah. It fights a bit, but hey, fucking hell.
Shall we tell the health minister about this?
No, we'll tell him. If it dies, we'll say, hey, man, we've got a problem.
Yeah.
The bird caught a flu and it's dead.
Come with some nuclear weapons here to defend us against bird flu. Anyway, that's good.
That's all right.
We've got an early warning system. That's a biological and environmental indicator, your vulnerable star.
It's like an indica. Ada.
Gun
at home?
No, certainly not. I go in for guns.
Would you know who has got a gun in your circle of friends?
I heard that there's plenty over the border, but I don't know anybody that has one exactly. And I know a lot of people over the border,
but none of them has any.
No, and they don't know anybody that's got one either.
Have you got a gun?
Someone explained
me that. You own a gun? Do you own a gun?
No.
Do you own a gun or a rifle?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, we are the
first. I've got a submachine gun with a scope.
Oh.
And I've got one of those ones with the grenade launcher on the top and the machine gun on the bottom. I mean, they're only plastic, only 5 centimetres long.
No, she's not plastic. Take her off.
And usually my son plays with them.
We've got a list with 525,000 Queensland guns alone. I want to just find out who owns these guns.
Who owns the 5,000?
525,000
guns.
I want to find out who are the owners. Nobody in Nimnam seems to own them.
Yeah, we're not from Queensland.
Yeah, people don't own one gun. No, people who own guns, they have a few. So you've got all your sporting clubs.
If you were to ask me and say, do you have an armoury?
Yeah.
Then I'd say yes.
Have you got a nuclear bomb to Tom?
Not at the moment.
Yeah, that's Scandaled Off for you for this week. And you heard all the locals. You can recognise that. That was Paris talking last. Andrew from the Boat Shed, which has sometimes the Boat Shed, sometimes it's just the information hub of Scandaled.org's program. And also we heard earlier on Graham talking about fish flu coming very soon. Indicators are platypuses, I reckon, here in this country. If the platypuses start snivelling and snotting, you know the fish flu has come. Furthermore, we had lined up the phone cutting, payphones, 5,000 payphones Telstra wants to cut. So, fair enough, they want to cut 5,000 payphones, they will lose out on all telephone canvassing of customers from cyber coolies, will lose their job in Mumbai and in Bangalore, there will be an uproar, unemployment in India will go up, because Soul True Hero wants to cut 5,000 payphones off. So we can't be monitored, we can't be canvassed, and we'll save heaps of money. Well, Optus comes to help. It will deliver roll-out payphone for hire. Even for one day, you can hire it. Well, and in the beginning of the program, you heard CKUT, Montreal Community Radio, doing an interview on Johnny Chai's concerns and all our concerns with Lake Cowell. And NIM FM representation a little bit, getting to know their listeners. But we exist, we live.
Yeah.
We do, and we have a paradise which at the moment gets belted with rain, but I haven't got any flood updates. I'm sure that Ian, who's coming soon for the web crawl, will have something, hopefully, to give you an update where you need a boat and where you don't. I want to keep it short and sweet. Just one little message before we go out of this whole thing here. Get this little track running here, and then I've got this is CD number 3. Let's get a bit of background music. Yeah, that's good. Nice and coming here. Anyway, this is here from an article from the US US news headlines. That's a website which just captures headlines. It doesn't do any commentary or anything. You can grab anything on there. It's just a headline, a blog if you want. And it says, Pentagon looks to shark spies for ocean research. The Pentagon is funding research into neural implants with the ultimate hope of turning sharks into stealth spies capable of gliding undetected through the ocean. British weekly New Scientist has published the research, which builds on experimental work to control animals by implanting tiny electrodes in their brain that are then stimulated to induce a behavioral response. Quote, the Pentagon hopes to exploit sharks' natural ability to glide quietly through water, some sense delicate electrical gradients and follow chemical trails, says the quote, unquote, says the report, I mean. Anyway, this is a wicked thing, another little nasty, cruel thing on animals, on our own, very own shark. And you've got to be a real shark hater to do that sort of thing, I reckon. Otherwise, I can wish you a lovely wet afternoon. Web crawl's on the way coming. I'm quite happy, actually, it comes early because I run out of material, to be frank. But I've got one little thing before an extra, which is a remix, because I was told by people that my stereo mixes don't come across well on the mono transmitter, so I've made an effort for you guys, an extra effort. This is a story inspired by David Butt from ironyparty.org. Click on www.ironyparty.org, all small casings, to find ridiculous satirical stories about culture and politics in Australia. So this is the enactment and play on Dangerous Gypsy Families being overcome by powerful US coalition army, no, sorry, not US, by powerful coalition army forces. So let's have a listen. They've been heroic there in Afghanistan, as far as I understand.
Four children from a malevolent gypsy family are today recovering in hospital after a prompt and overwhelming missile attack has left two women, the masterminds of the family, dead.
After coalition troops stationed near the Afghani-Pakistan border were fired upon last weekend, there was a quick retaliation from the superb forces of freedom against the devastating destructive potential of impoverished nomads seeking out an existence in tent villages in the region, following a series of natural and human-made disasters.
Late on Saturday afternoon, one of the four shiny rockets fired from the Chiang Kai-shek post in Afghanistan unerringly found the gypsy family's tent in the border village of Bangidar in the vicinity of the Murali district in Pakistan.
The gypsy family had reportedly been close to bringing down the United States government by virtue of an unimaginably brilliant special attack upon the coalition forces stationed at the Chiang Kai-shek post in Afghanistan's Khost province. If successful, this might have yielded the resourceful nomads the weaponry to take on the full might of the U.S. Army, Navy and Air Force before undertaking an assault on mainland North America to disable the wheels of government and industry.
However, the timely rocket attack nipped the daring evil plan in the bud, saving the free world once again from the imminent threat of dictatorial control of the planet by notoriously efficient and power-hungry gypsy people.
Okay, it's the end of the program. Stay tuned. Web crawl is coming very soon. In any minute, I'll tell you all over some just calm music to settle your nerves for some serious contributions here and all that spoofy stuff. What Scandal.org tries to do here in its mediocre ways is not wished always. So I know, I do understand you listeners want to have some serious contribution as occasionally from this radio station. You'll get it. We've got stuff lined up, which is tremendous. With our worker from Warwick, who's traveling again, our foreign correspondent, traveling and getting content of a serious nature with real concerns about South America. So that'd be an interesting program for people who don't like me. you should tune in now or stay tuned and pay attention, because this is really good stuff coming up. Warwick and Ian worked with this, so stay tuned. Anyway, I also might just point out that we'll have a really, 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 really wicked, wicked, new, crazy, bonkers going program on Saturday night called Centerfold. For all those listeners who love the wacky, crazy, way out, geeky shit, tune in Saturday at 7, because there will be 2 to 3 hours, depends on what material I get, from international scene of wickedness. Axis of Evil will be presented. There will be Bastard Brood of Che from Upstart Radio America. There will be The Inner Side. There will be The Blather. There will be Hans Island Podcast. And there will be much more weird shit coming your way. But I can't do it in the daytime, because the kids and the mothers will really crucify me if they hear that in the daytime. So that's why we created a new slot for all those naughty, nicked, knotted things, and present that Saturday night, 7 o'clock. So stay tuned.
This is our land. This is the timeless land.